Today's interview is with Ron Nash from Laticrete, and I am confident that you will benefit from listening to this interview. We discuss supply lines, inflation, seasonality of tile work, strategic planning, and more. Like always, Ron came with several book recommendations, and I came up with one myself. I'm pretty proud of that. The links to all those books are in the show notes wherever you are listening or watching this podcast. Of the Tile Money Podcast. My name is Luke Miller, your host, and my mission with this podcast is to strengthen the tile industry. I believe we can do this. I believe we are doing this with our business discussions and education designed for contractors by contractors. This podcast and platform Tile Money is assisting tile contractors around the world to build sustainable, profitable businesses. The result is a stronger industry from the installer up. Today, we've got another dynamic discussion lined up for you. I have Ron Nash, the North American president of the I'm getting all flustered now. Laticrete International. Before we get into it, we will say a few words to thank the sponsors of the show. These are the sponsors that keep the lights on at Tile Money. These are the sponsors that are investing back in you. The Tile Contractor. The NTCA, the National Tile Contractors Association, that could be your most valuable resource as a tile contractor. They are the oldest and the largest association for tile contractors. Congratulations, a little bit early, but congratulations, NTCA, for 75 years as an association. So they can answer and put you in touch with people who have the answers to the questions you have, whether that be in the field or you want an introduction to somebody in a specific field of tile, the NTCA has your back. Talk to Jim Olson today to learn more about what the NTCA can do for you and your business. Laticrete International. Laticrete is one of the leading innovators in the tile installation materials world. They are literally credited with inventing thinset. That's right, the stuff you put the tiles with the thinset. And they did that by winning the World Trade Center contract. They were able to provide that lightweight solution. That's what really put them on the map in the United States. They were already making headway in Europe. And they were able to build the world's tallest buildings here in America with Laticrete thinset. GoBoard. GoBoard is another one of our sponsors. GoBoard is an innovative tile backer board manufactured by Johns Manville. Discover the possibilities with this easy-to-cut, handle, waterproof product. It's lightweight, yet very durable. You can carry a bunch of boards in one trip, and you can seal those joint and fastener penetrations using GoBoard Pro Sealant to achieve ANSI A118.1 compliant installations. GoBoard Pro Sealant is now available in 20-ounce sausage packs. Ask your distributor to bring them in. Prep is everything. Without solid prep, what do you got? Not much. Learn more at jm.com/GoBoard. Happy Tile Guy is my company. I'm a part owner in happytileguy.com. This is where you professional tile contractors who want to look a little pro, want to step it up a little bit, are going to get professional websites built fully search engine optimized for lead generation. That is your online hub for your business. Even though social media is king, that's great marketing. It's free. You need to be there. Where do they go when you've caught their eye on social media? They go to your website. They want to see a little bit about you and see your story. And that is what's helping to sell happy tile. That's what is making happy tile contractors, happy tile guys all over. All right, let's get to the podcast. Enjoy. This is a live recording with Ron Nash, the president of Laticrete International, the North American president, I should clarify, correct?
Yeah, just North America. I don't need anything else. I'm good.
That's perfect. Great. Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, and we record usually every quarter. I think we try to record something, and yep. It's been helpful. It's been very helpful. People still appreciate your negotiation tactics, and maybe
we should redo that. I've got a bunch of new stuff. We should redo that one.
Let's do it, and we'll plan for that one. I'll plan some questions, and you can plan your material. But today, I'm excited to have you on just to kind of do a shotgun of kind of what's your eyes on the industry, what's pressing right now, what issues are Tile Money friends should be aware of and really keep close in mind. I mean, 6 months ago, we put one out and you said, you know, everybody get ready because there's going to be a lack of supplies. And it is what it is, right? I mean, when we say things like this, it's not taking sides. It is what it is. I mean, there's going to be a lack of supplies and you verbalized that very well. And the people who listened stocked up and started thinking like that. And to this day, there's still people in the group saying, when can I get my board? And, you know, well, we've been talking about it for 6 months. So,
yeah. So that I think is one of the great things about Tile Money. What you're doing is you have an opportunity to talk to a wide swath of contractors and a wide swath of manufacturers. And so we all have different challenges. And some of my challenges come way before, like time-wise, the timeline, way before the contractor would see them. So, you know, if we're having raw material challenges and, you know, last year, like I said, if you guys remember when we were talking about these were before the Texas freeze that happened.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big deal. And then do you guys remember like a month after that had that boat that got caught in the Suez?
Yeah.
Remember that? And created some really funny memes,
Sure.
You know, we're going to put two rednecks with trucks and all these intentions. So, well, those kind of things, those kind of issues, they were creating problems for us. Mm. Not that we couldn't solve, but they were issues way, way, way back then. So that's when I thought, wow, we can really use this platform and in our partnership together to help give people a heads up. Hey, you know, these are issues that are happening and they're coming. And then that by that way, having that early knowledge, being, you know, participant in a conversation on Tile Money and listening to your podcast, you can look at trends as well. And I've been really interested in the trends, you know, and I've been really interested in trying to see what trends do we see that might be helpful for contractors to know way ahead of time. And one of those was the supply situation. And you know, we made a couple of predictions, I guess. And I will tell you that I'm thankful that we did have those conversations because a lot of those things were coming true and are coming true and are continuing to come true. And I, you know, was on that subject. We're still battling those things. You know, you're going to start seeing a little bit of softening of the reporting here coming up saying, the shipping situation looks like it's easing. It's not easing. Okay. So if anybody's, you know, telling you that, it's just not. So, you know, the big thing is if you've got jobs that are out and scheduled out on the calendar, you know, it's really important to have those conversations with the owners to say, hey, you've got to release enough money to us that we can get this material paid for and warehoused and ready to go before we start the job. Because if you start the job and you don't have all the materials, you are... let me put it this way. You're going to have a very rare owner that's going to allow you to leave their material, you know, their job jacked up while they're waiting 2 months to get supply, you know.
And you end up looking like the bad guy. I mean, exactly. You know, at the end of the day, if you want clients to, you know, clients who are willing to pay you more, they're looking for an expert. They don't know tile. They don't know board. They don't know supply issues. I mean, they're learning about it through, you know, I have supply issues with my pickup truck. I have, you know, tailgates I'm waiting on. I got rear-ended. I'm still waiting on materials 6 months later. So everybody's learning about supply issues. But if you don't bring it up and say, this is why I need a deposit, I know last time we worked together, I didn't take deposits, but now it's mandatory because I want to order your materials. And by the way, I'd like to garage them or I'm going to house them. So, you know, here's a fee, you know, I mean, however you got to do it to be prepared for those, you know, I, and I know a lot of guys who are, scheduling 6, 12, 18 months out. So,
yeah, that's so great. You know, look, if you can schedule that far out, then you have the ability to be strategic, right? You can kind of back up and say, okay, well, hey, I've got, you know, Mrs. Jones' job and, you know, Mr. Nash's job and Mr. Miller's job. And they're scheduled out this far. Oh, and by the way, I use the same material on all three of these jobs. Now you can do a couple of things. First of all, you can go to a supply house and you can give the suppliers a little bit more of a window of what you need. And also you might be able to negotiate a little better. You know, you're able to clump those, you know, purchases together. And then I promise you, if you're doing this right, even if you don't have a place to store things, even a storage unit, I know it sounds crazy, but even having a storage unit that you can just rent for a temporary time that basically say, I'm going to move material here until I know that I have things. And I know that most contractors have got this figured out, but I'm just saying, even if you don't, it's a time. Now's the time to do that.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds funny, but it's like, you know, I believe that Martin Brooks, you know, the president of the NTCA, that's he works out of a storage unit because he's an 8-person, you know, 8, 9, 10 person company. He doesn't need a $5,000 overhead a month, you know, for San Francisco. He needs $200 a month for a storage unit. That works.
Exactly right. So. You know, and look, there are a lot of creative ways to do this. You know, there are a lot of creative ways to do it. But the thing is, so when you have a constriction in supply chain, your strategy of how you do business needs to adapt in order to strategically think about how am I going to get around this challenge? And then the bigger part is, how can I still deliver excellence, even though now that excellence is going to really stand out from your competitors? You're going to look so much more well buttoned up. You're going to look so much more well put together. When you have a conversation, it's not just like, you know, your basics of, well, we've got this job, we got this material, we're going to design it this way, yada, yada, yada. Those are great. But then taking into the consideration, oh, and listen, supply chains are like this right now. I am, as a good contractor, I'm giving you a heads up that, you know, these selections are things that maybe I have more stock of, or all of those ideas to sell what you have on hand today, which is always a good idea. But the bigger part is, strategically, here's how I'm going to run your job and let them know that schedule. Okay, so that means I can't get your job started for the next 8 weeks because some of the materials you've ordered won't even be available by then. You know, and just really early on in the conversation, letting them know that your job is not only to do an excellent execution, which you will, that's what you paid for, that's the money that you gave me, but it's beyond that. It's also part of delivering that execution is having my business game together, you know, having my supply lines together, having my thought on how we're going to stage the job, where we're going to put the materials, how we're going to, you know, not just install the materials. That's the sexy part that everybody talks about in trainings and in all of our industry training is like, how do I trowel to make the, you know, materials get good coverage? Those are the easy questions now. Mm-hmm. Those are usually, if you don't have those done now you're in real big trouble because you have all these other market forces that are making your job more difficult. So organization, that, you know, let me tell you, you know, I'm going to sound like Jordan Peterson to people. You know, what's one thing you can do to change your life? You know, make your bed. All right. Well, making your bed is one thing, but I say clean your trailer. Mm. You know, I tell contractors all the time, if you're ever stuck and you really don't know what that next thing, that strategic thing you need to do, clean your trailer. And then by the time you're done cleaning your trailer and getting everything organized, you're going to have that problem solved, you know?
Yeah, I learned, I was lucky enough at the age of 20 to about 23 to work for a company who was very organized. And their whole thing was, I mean, we had, it's the only company I worked for that had the weekly safety meetings, the monthly longer safety meetings, you know, whatever the requirement, I don't remember the schedule, but they met the OSHA, they met and exceeded OSHA guidelines. And our job sites, we were taught that a clean job site is a clean mind, you know, organized. It leads to quicker, you know, quicker jobs, quicker turnaround, higher profits. It leads to less, you know, less injuries, less mistakes. I mean, all kinds of things. So organization, I mean, and it's, you know, I struggle with that. I struggle a lot with that. I think a lot of contractors do, but it's a great reminder.
Listen, I do too. I just want you to know it's so, organization is a practice. Mm. It's not a skill, much like meditation. Meditation is a practice. Mm. You mean you have to actively do it every day or on your schedule. Organization is very much like that. It's a practice. If you stop one thing. So I'm never within like two feet from my black notebook and pen. Why? Because this is part of my organization practice, you know, and I find a lot of people, you know, we need to make sure, you know, just make sure that we're good and think about those things. The organization is so important. It's so important.
And I appreciate you, you know, bringing out your black book there. Cause I was going to say, well, do you have any tools that you use? I was thinking, you know, an app or a calendar that you really like.
No, actually. And I teach this like, honestly, I am at work. You know, I continually teach like things like when a personal organization, if you want like a heads up on where to start, listen or read David Allen's Getting Things Done. Mm. You know, it gets you into that organization mind frame. And then I just start like telling people, hey, carry around a notebook. And then if for nothing else, you have started. And mentally speaking, when it comes to the practice of organization, basically it's much like getting one little thing that you can do every day that you can just commit to. You know what? I'm going to start down this path, this practice of organization. I'm just going to carry a notebook and a pen everywhere I go. And then no matter what, I'm not going to try to rely on my brain to remember things. When I have something and I say, I need to remember that, I'm going to start writing it down. And I start writing it down. Then the simple mechanisms that you build every day are going to help you from there on in. So for me, I'll let you know mine just personally. All right. So I carry this around every day. I sweep it every day at the end of every business day, meaning I look for things that are due on or due by a certain day. If things are due on or due by a certain day, I immediately go to my Outlook calendar and I literally type those in. This is due by the certain day or due on the certain day. And then I already feel better. I already feel like, even if it's a big project, I already feel like, hey, I've started.
Yeah.
And I'm using electronics to help my brain not worry about those things so that I continue to go. And then, so I sweep my notes weekly and I sweep my journal monthly. And so I could go on about that for days and days, but just that one little thing changes the trajectory of your organization, because you start with yourself. You start cleaning things up a little bit and then you start looking at beyond that. But how that relates to what we're talking about in business is a lot of the timelines that we're managing now are unusual. And so it requires that you're going to have to be a lot more organized too. So now you start thinking about the things that you used to take for granted. Yeah. You used to take for granted that you could just slide into your distributor's warehouse and pick up pretty much anything you needed in order to get a job done.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have a call ahead or an order ahead or you know, something ahead of time with that warehouse and you show up, your odds of it being there have gone way down.
And it's strange. Okay, strange things also. It's not just the board. It's not just I talked to Martin again last week, and it's a podcast. If you haven't listened to it, friends, go back and listen to Martin Brooks, because he says in the podcast, I think maybe it was before we recorded, he spent a day or half a day driving around to find the grout color. I mean, once a client chooses grout, I mean, they tip, you know, in my experience, they don't go back. They don't, well, they, after you install it, sometimes they choose another color, but they want you to at least install their chosen grout color and give it a go. And he had to spend, a whole day or half a day, you know, many hours driving around looking for this grout. So it's strange things. We've got some questions coming in from the audience, which is great. Cool. I do want to encourage the audience. We've got, you know, 25 people with us today for a Monday morning, and we didn't plan this. This is great. And you guys, I want to encourage you to help us record this episode. We want to talk about some of the hot points, some things that are bothering you. Something's bothering you. We have one angry person drawn with us. If you're angry, let us know why you're angry. Maybe we can address it here.
If anybody needs to get on and yell at me, I'm very good at that.
Do you have a preferred system for organizing information inside your journal?
Yeah, great question. So I mentioned my journaling, and I journal for different reasons, right? I use mostly a modified GTD or getting things done workflow methodology for things that I capture every day in my daily runner, my catcher's mitt. I use basically a workflow for that. As far as journaling goes, I write in a couple different ways. I write a journal that is specifically geared towards my girls and things that I, you know, more meditative, more thought provoking things that I want to leave behind, you know. So a journal that I'm leaving as if, you know, somebody will read it one day in the future, not me again. So I write like that. And then as far as like my professional world, yes, I keep. So the professional world is something that we kind of touched touched on earlier in pre going live is that my business has very good cycles of busy times and not busy times, and or not busy, but we're always busy, but you know, times of greater activity and times of more activity that you can think strategically. So when you think about that, I've synchronized all of my meetings and especially my team meetings to that timing that's needed by the business. And so journaling for me in that particular case also goes towards that as well. So I have professional things that, you know, or projects that I'm managing inside of the company, that usually myself or a whole team of people are also working on as well. That will keep certain journals and records and things like that on that to report progress later to my bosses and, you know, those kind of things. And then we have some things that are just like seasonal. So that's a different animal. So for example, we're just, you know, dealing with, the budgets, right? So we set an annual budget, like all corporations, you know, at least once it survived, you know, we set annual budgets, and we just finished our budget reconciliation or budget process, not reconciliation, my budget process for initially setting our budget and presenting it to the board, which is going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. So that was a lot of work, you know, incredible amount of work, and all our departments going through how are we going to spend money next year? What are we going to do to be efficient? And because of that cycle, trade shows, when are trade shows going to be? And when's the busy season? Meaning, you know, tile contractors, you guys know better than anybody. You're really, really busy in the shoulders of the seasons, right? So you're coming up on spring, and spring then ramps up to super huge and busy summer. And then that summer kind of dies off. And then you'll see another little interest and activity that comes around the holidays. People want to have their houses remodeled before Thanksgiving. They want to have their houses remodeled before Christmas. They want to, you know, all those things wind up happening, and they create a rhythm for you. So it's a long way of getting into, I'm interested in studying the pattern and rhythm of my life and my business. Thereby I can strategically start looking at, you know what, I need training. I need to improve. I need to schedule training on when can I do that? When is the best time for me to do that? Because if I were to schedule training and I were to put it in the middle of budget season, I will tell you that will not be effective because I'm so busy trying to, you know, it's one of my busiest season times of the season. And I find that contractors have the same challenge if they think about it, you know, if they back up and they say, okay, well, my last 3 years or so, I had a lot of jobs in the summer or spring, or I had, you know, a lot of jobs in the winter, and I seem to be having a pattern to what I'm buying, to what I'm doing. And then that will help in a lot of different ways. You become organized in your thoughts strategically. Now you can start kind of backing up from your business and saying, okay, well, we're going to do quarterly planning meetings, even if I hold them by myself, you know, even every quarter. How do we do the first quarter? Was that better than the quarter the year before? Was that better than, you know, does it look like I'm going to have a good quarter next quarter? So forward looking conversation with yourself even can be very, very helpful. And it all helps when we start talking about like getting your life organized and planning for those rhythms. Because otherwise what happens is, and I've watched myself do this, and I've watched businesses do this, and I've watched colleagues do this, is you wind up crazy making all of the time, because in today's environment, there's a ton of emergencies, both man-made and real emergencies that wind up popping up, and people don't have enough structure in their organization that they're ready to strategically attack those opportunities, because each emergent situation also comes with an opportunity to either over execute, meaning execute better than your competitors, or plan for it so that when that hits you, it reduces the impact. And the supply chain woes that we're talking about, you know, people that are looking for things, board is like the, you know, the hot button, you know, who knew when we made a board that part of the material and it would also be used in KN95 masks. I mean, why would we even care when we were, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, these two industries are just so crazy and different, you know, that why would we even care? You know, so
yeah, interesting, you know, stuff.
You know, so those kind of things are like, we wouldn't plan on having that emergency, and now there is an emergency, and, or I mean, for a lot of people, there's an emergency. And so what we're trying to do now is help people be more forward thinking so that they can maximize and capitalize on it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, you brought up seasonality, which is a is a very real, you know, issue for contractors. And before we move on to that, though, and dive into that a little bit further, I just want to emphasize on the question on Ron's preferred system. It sounds like you got it from the book Getting Things Done, which is a David Allen book.
It's right? It's definitely the first foundational. It would definitely be foundational.
I'm sure you could build off of it, right? But if anybody needs a system, buy the book Getting Things Done by David Allen. And I mean, if Ron's using it, I mean, it might work for a contractor, I would assume.
Listen, if for nothing else, it's a great start, right? And now you have something that you can say, well, I don't really like this part. Like for me, look, I don't follow the whole thing exactly. What I did is I said, okay, this is really good. And then, I got a lot of other people who have influenced me in this particular world. I would say Tim Ferriss, studying, the impact of what you do. He's big on the Pareto principle, like, 20% of what you actually do provides 80% of the results. And I would say that that's actually true. And if you could then study it at 20% and figure out how you can make it good. Then,
absolutely.
Then you can be really effective.
Absolutely. We've got a couple of quick questions. These will be quick. When will Mastic be available?
I can't answer that right now.
I figured. Now, the other thing, are you going to start, do you know, with your relationship with Floor and Decor, are they going to carry Hydroband board?
So, I don't like to give a lot of forward looking things on what customers are going to carry or not. I will say that, our program is ever expanding there.
Yeah. And then Patrick, you can read this question real quick. Just read it out loud.
Let's see. If you could recommend one book for a regular tile contractor, what would it be? That's an interesting one. I have a small one. It's called How to Become a Rainmaker by Jeffrey J. Fox.
Nice.
And I think the one great thing about tile is that it's ran by a bunch of artists. And I think the one thing I love about artists is that they're really creative. The one thing, my mother was an artist, by the way, and so I know this mentality, like I love this mentality. But the big thing is you also have to be able to sell your art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really important. So don't skip sales class, I think it's really important that people understand how to project their value. And Jeffrey J. Fox makes something that's very, I think, really accessible for those who are just thinking about how do I show that I'm the right guy.
Nice. I like that. Appreciate the explanation too. And I like where your head's with, because I popped over there for a minute and grabbed a book because Keith asked the same question to me. And I think, Ron, that you recommended this book to me. Is this?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
The War of Art. So Ron brought up the artist thing. At TSP, you recommended this book to me, and I thought it was you. I've been reading it. I'm not. I'm about halfway through. Incredible book for anyone who, is an artist, which most tile contractors, I think, fall into that category. Anybody who deals with procrastination or as explained here by Stephen Pressfield in The War of Art, what is it? Resistance. You're resistant to something. And he explains why artists or, contractors or independent owners are resistant.
Totally.
Get my camera back in view.
That's a great, that's a really good one. I think I really like how he approaches, like, it's okay. This is the way it's the way you are. So I've also found that, like, there's so many people that wind up having this idea that, like, oh, I can't get into that mind frame or whatever. It's so natural. You got to realize that we're asking ourselves to behave in ways that are not natural for us. So of course they're going to be difficult. It's like, when we were emerging from caves, we didn't have to, invoice a customer. Didn't have to do paperwork. We didn't have to, so it's okay for us to give ourselves a break and say, hey, there's going to be some skills that I'm not great at. I'm going to have to learn how to do some things. I will say the most successful people really do think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read that one as well.
That's a good one. I have not read it, but I've seen it recommended a few times. Now there are a couple other questions here. I don't want to forget these questions, so I'm just going to bring them up as they come up. Well, first of all, I wanted to clarify, Peter Swin clarified that he wasn't angry. He was frustrated because he's out on an injury right now. So he's probably a little bit frustrated. And this is a topic it sounds like he's thankful for.
Well, okay. So you're out of the game for a second.
Yeah. Now, this brings up the seasonality subject, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you're out of the game for a second. So, you know, I'm continually trying to encourage people, use the time that's wasted downtime to sharpen something. Mm-hmm. You know, I walk my dog every day, which is one of my favorite things. So I walk my dog every day and I am continually listening to a book if I'm walking, mm-hmm. or I'm continually listening to a podcast. And I'm really trying to be as targeted as I possibly can. Like, what do I really think I need? What do I really think I want to learn and move forward? Use these times. You know, if you're out with an injury, first of all, rest, let your body heal, do the things that are going to get that tool working better, you know, and getting back into the game, because that's how you make money. So do that first. But secondly, man, now's that time to butter up the paperwork, get that right, you know, get your downtime as effective as possible. That way, when you do your approach angle, when you come back in, it's going to be much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Peter, happy to help you anyway, and I'm glad this is helpful for you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
Rest and reorganize. Now, we had one thought about from Val. He's asking, how do you deal with customers who only want to communicate via email or text messaging, never physically on a job site? Now, I think we have opposing views on this topic, Ron, so this will be interesting. Yeah. I'll let you go. Yeah.
So I'm old school and I have detractors and I'm certainly not for, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's totally cool. I really, I feel like if there's a ticket, a big ticket item, any big ticket item, if you have an opportunity to get in front of a person and read body language and communicate and with using all the tools at your facility, you know, at your ability, I think you're going to do better overall. You know, and I'm talking like if you analyze 100 deals, okay, I feel like, you know, you're probably going to have a higher percentage of win if you can get physically in front of them. So if you're forced, unfortunately forced, to go via text message or via email, understand that a lot of construction is done via email, especially right now. And so you, number one, you have to be very careful, right? So this is where you're going to be paying for Grammarly as your friend. Grammarly.com. Okay. You want to put your paragraphs through the Grammarly filter to make sure that your English is decent. You know, this is where you look brushed up and polished up or you don't. And so you got to be careful. So if you be a good writer, as much as you possibly can, have other people read it. If you're concerned too, I always think that that's important. And so the second part is, you're going to need to be very detailed and thorough, you know, what explicitly and what, you know, is what you're putting in there. So it's going to take more time. So you're going to have to give yourself that more time in order to construct that communication as in a way that really is thorough. And because the problem is once you put things in writing, then, you know, look, there's a reason why lawyers, you know, spend so much time studying the language, mm-hmm. you know? So you got to be careful with that. And then the next part is I have a strategy at Laticrete that I tell people, it's like never put in writing what is already in writing. Mm-hmm. Meaning if you can attach a data sheet from a company rather than rewriting the data sheet from the company, yeah. you're going to do a lot better. And even better if inside your email, you're putting links to the data sheet directly from the website of the company that you're submitting or whatever. I think that's even smarter because then, you know, if that email is viewed 10 years from now and that link is still good, then if the company changed the data sheet or whatever, your communication is still pure. You know, so I guess macro speaking, you have to worry about how you're communicating. You got to worry about what you're communicating. You got to worry about the tone, intonation. It's very difficult, because intonation is one of the things that writers often forget about. So you can accidentally sound curt when you don't mean to be sounding curt. So you have to be very careful that you don't keep, you know, you keep things positive. I hate to say this, but you got to do everything you can do to try to keep the conversation uplifting and positive, because when you start getting into a battle in writing, when you're nameless and faceless, when you're faceless in front of people, people become keyboard warriors and they just go over the top. And that is really a bad strategy in today's business. I would not do that. If at all you feel like it's heated at all, suggest a meet, suggest a telephone call, suggest something that can break that cycle. Text messaging. Look, I understand that this happens and it still does happen. I like to keep text messages down to things that are single topic. Okay. So I don't like a text message that would have 20 different things, because the search feature of text message sucks. Yeah. And you know, you have all these issues. So I like to keep it one topic, one text message. And then once again, if you at all have a red flag going off, feel like the tones aren't great, something's going on here, suggest a telephone call immediately, you know, and those kind of things. But that's a tough, what I worry about is you can be commoditized over email and text message much easier than you can be when you're face to face. When I'm face to face, I can help have a relationship build quicker. I have a comfort factor that I can see to it that the customer is going to get to before I leave. I can read that they are listening and responding. And over email, they might be doing this email to 10 other contractors.
Right. Right.
So all they're going to do now is just take your communication and put it in a spreadsheet and then go to other communications and say, well, you said you wanted $2.50 more a square foot than this guy over here. Will you match that price? And then you have you have very few other things that you've delivered to that experience that will help you offset that need to do that. Whereas if I were to own every company, my first thing I'd say is you need to be delivering, each of your customers need to be having a planned experience. What I mean by that is when we go to measure, this is how we behave. This is how the feelings that I want that owner to have as we're there. We're organized. We're thought out. We have a good strategy. You know, I want to seem competent as possible in front of them. Mm-hmm. And we're going to deliver that competency in these particular individual ways. And then when we do that, that's going to help we're continually balancing the scale of competency and non-competency. And I want to balance that scale so much in our way that when a competitor comes and they haven't thought about those things, that they go in the back of their mind, they're saying, well, if I hire those guys, they kind of seem like more fly by night than, you know, and these guys seem to be organized and clean and ready. I really, you know, they're a little bit more money, but I think we're going to give it to them. Mm-hmm. And that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
That's a super long riff on that idea, but I think I'm trying to encapsulate where I come from, you know?
Well, what it did is tell me, you've slightly softened your position from maybe 6-12 months ago, because it is it is so prevalent. And B, you've spent a decent amount of time thinking about this subject. This is not, you know, nothing today is pre-planned at all, guys. So I love it. I think maybe instead of being scared of it, you address it head on. Maybe on your website, you say, FAQ, what about text messages? We are happy to do text messages in this way. We are happy to do text messages once we've come to this agreement. We are happy to do, you know, three or four text messages, you know, at this period. In other words, control the scenario, guys. That's what I've been saying about contracts. It puts you in control. You know, Ron's taught us that it's the higher authority. Oh, you don't like my price? Well, I got to speak to the higher authority. The business makes the prices. You have a system.
Let me talk to my boss. Yeah. I'm more than happy to do that. But, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, you definitely just think about the experience. I guess that's my whole thing. It's like, well, let's look at it differently. And every time you get in touch with a potential customer, what experience are you delivering? Mm-hmm. And then even take that down to the text message. Mm-hmm. How do I handle text messages? And as a company policy, even if you're a company of one, you can have policies. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as a company policy, when I get a text, that's going to be, when I would sit with an owner, maybe I would say, look, I love text messaging because it's very quick, but here's my rules on text messaging. We'll only talk about one subject at a time, and then I might follow that up with an email or whatever. My point is, but you decide what experience am I going to have to give the customer so that you can control those things, you know? And I enjoy that. And the more you do that for a customer, the more you can charge. I mean that very seriously, because you're basically saying, we have thought about this project all the way through, and we like customers who allow us to control the job and to think about all of these little individual areas. And that's what you get when you buy our service. Uh-huh. And that is going to cost more than the fly-by-night guy.
Yeah.
And you know what? The money says over time, without doubt, you'll do better significantly.
Yeah.
So this will pay for itself. So this is worth an exercise. It's worth thinking about and teaching and training your employees, if you have employees, and saying, hey, all right, so let's think about this each individual way. What experience do we want to deliver? And let's plan on that. You know, it's that whole, at the end of the job, how are we going to know we ended the job well? Well, this is where we deliver the gift basket of the thank you card, the referral card, you know, the bottle of cleaners and sealers or whatever, the bottle of cleaner and the microfiber towel to, you know, and the squeegee for the shower door. This is my gift, you know, for these jobs of this size. And then we sit down and we say, here's how your shower works. Here's how you maintain your tile. Here's how you maintain this great glass door that you guys have got. And then, by the way, if you got any friends that want to hire me, you know how hard it was to get on my schedule. Tell them to get on it quick.
And the beauty is you have a system, and you've mentioned that's systems right. And with text messages and I'm not on it. Rob Olson brought this up. I've heard of this and known about these tools. There's text expander, you know, type totally. Applications. Whereas in my position, I should be using this because I come across a lot of the same questions where I could literally write a paragraph. I could write a blog and literally have a little, you know, a three text thing. And then it automatically inputs my language or my blog or my paragraph and boom, it's done. And a lot of these tools do take time up front, and that's the hesitancy, right? That's the resistance right. I'm feeling is, oh, I don't have 3 hours to learn this program. It's like, I'm using monday.com. Do you use monday.com or anything?
I don't. It's pretty interesting. I'm going to write it down.
So it's a group. It's like a networking group, you know, for projects. It's project management. It's CRM. It's so much things. Like, I've used simple things before, like, there's a few popular ones. It's just like blocks of projects, which you can knock sure. off. I've used those before. They're fairly simple learning curve. This learning curve, the steep is way higher, but I'm working on a really big project that's going to, you know, be 10x tile money workload with several partners. And we've got to learn it. And I'm just, yeah. I'm learning these tools to, you know, maximize my time in the future. And I think, I think with the texting and the new way of kind of doing business and what people are in, you know, whatever they're into, we need to adapt. I mean, Zoom, FaceTime, whatever, every contractor, you know, especially for the smaller, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 projects, there's sure. no reason we shouldn't jump on a Zoom or a FaceTime and give them a rough estimate and see if they're our client before ever leaving the office. That's just, I think that's a no brainer. Anybody who's not taking advantage of that during this time period when clients want that, you should implement that into these smaller projects, especially. There's no reason to drive around, you know, halfway around town.
You know, I haven't even thought about it, but if you think, I mean, just to kind of take your idea there, which I think is a cool one. If there was a great way to, you know, on your website or whatever, say book a Zoom, a pre-job Zoom meeting with me, or, you know, book a virtual walkthrough, you know, that'd be, in my opinion, it'd be worth experimenting, especially in a market where you could just basically have a very low stress way to meet me as a contractor. And then for me to meet you as a potential customer.
That's right.
Because I will tell you that the good businesses that I know are really picky about who they work with. And they got that way through usually painful experience.
That's right.
And how many times could you like see a, you know, oh, hey, let's do a quick walkthrough, you know, and I'll FaceTime you. And look, it's safe for them. Everybody's FaceTiming now, so that's pretty common. You know, it gives you an opportunity to, not only that, you show that you're comfortable with technology, which is also, I think, a good hallmark of a lot of different things. I'm comfortable with technology, so that person is probably also, you know, more technically oriented, which is a good thing to be producing. And then here's the thing, make sure that that's an experience. When I do these things, think about what experience you're going to be giving that customer. What a cool idea. I think it's a cool idea.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, if I were looking for a contractor and, you know, I found this Facebook ad and like, hey, do a Zoom meeting with me first. Yep. I might, you know, like, hey, what can it hurt? Shows up and it looked like he was organized or she was organized and it looked like they got their game, you know, their game down. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think it is. And we have contractors in the Tile Money Facebook group who are utilizing this system or something similar where it's on their voice message. It's on their website. It's everywhere they are. This is the system. You know, when I was advertising, you know, back before a few years ago, I just had a 3-page brochure with 6 steps to work with me. These are my 6 steps, you know, control the situation. And now we have all these digital tools that people want and need in some cases. You know, a few years ago, I mean, I've worked with people who have special needs. You know, they have a compromised immune system. So we had to approach that job completely different. I didn't know it was going to – I'm not a contractor today, but I didn't know it would set me up for 2020 and 2021 where everybody's immune system is compromised, so to speak, you know, or that's the feeling that a lot of people would have. And why not?
Well, look, or even look at it like this. You know, a lot of people get a lot of time wasted. With contractors, you know, their contractors go around, they see jobs. You're like, you walk the job. And first of all, gas is how much money now, you know, there's some places where it's $5 a gallon, you know, it's not free to go galvanning across LA right now to go look at someone's job. It's anything but free. So it's really important that you protect your time. But also I think another thing is you could do it so professionally. It could be really, really well done. Really can be.
Well, the other thing it establishes, and then I want to get off the subject, but the other thing it establishes right away is, yes, we're using this modern technology. We have a process, and it's free, right? It's free to do a 20-minute Zoom call or 30 minutes, whatever you establish. Maybe it's 15 to 30. But then we have our paid our paid consultation fee.
Sure.
Right off the bat, boom, you're different. You're somebody different. Now, what that's going to do is weed out a bunch of people right away because they're like, this jerk, you know. Okay, great. They were never your client in the first place. So you weeded them out just by having a plan, having that simple implementation, you know, and controlling the process.
People get really nervous about that concept of weeding out. They really do, because especially if you haven't marketed yourself to a point where you're saying no yet. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I understand that emotion, you know, it's like, crap, I'm not saying no and I'm really looking for my next job. So why would I want to start weeding these things out? Okay. Total good points, and it all probably is valid somewhere. But at the same time, as you start getting your marketing chops up and as you get your reputation out there, you will start to, you know, jobs. There's a lot more jobs than there are contractors right now, statistically speaking. So getting your name out there should be not as big a deal as it used to be, right? Especially with all the tools. So a savvy way to approach that could really help you and help you get those jobs for really well worth it. Really good jobs.
Absolutely. Now we covered supply lines pretty good. We touched on seasonality. You know, I think the main takeaway with seasonality is know what your typical year looks like and put it on the calendar. When do you want to do trade shows? When do you want to do training? When is the NTCA going to be close to you? And can you block that week off? Or actually it's a day or two, right? Can you block that day or two off and take part of your crew to that training? When is your favorite manufacturer or a manufacturer you're interested going to be doing training near you? Where do they do their training? What options? Start planning for your season of work, right? I mean, that's kind of the thought there.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I add one more thing to that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Meet with your significant other first.
That's a good idea. Like, my wife's going to love you. She'll send you.
I've got 3 daughters and they are busy as you cannot believe. And my wife has a whole universe that wraps around her.
Sure.
And, you know, I think as a good dad and as a good, husband, I deserve, or my wife deserves to have that first meeting, right? And so we have quarterly meetings. I know it sounds crazy, but we legitimately do. We have quarterly meetings. We have yearly looks where we sit down. We kind of make some personal goals, plan our vacation if we're going to have one, or, you know, make sure that I'm going to be at critical events, daughter's graduations. Back in the day, it was Saturday soccer, Sunday soccer games, yeah. You know, all that stuff. But being a dad, for me, it had to be scheduled because my life is chaotic, you know? So I had to make sure that that was locked down first. So don't pass up that, you know? And the same thing, by the way, I just come from my perspective of being a dad and a, you know, a husband. Not everybody is, but, you know, let's say you're not, let's just say you're single. Still, what do you want to do that year? Are you going to take a vacation? And how are you going to afford that vacation? How are you going to facilitate that?
Yeah.
How are you going to plan that downtime, that sharpening of the saw? What trainings are you going to go to? How are you going to do that without a plan? Mm-hmm. And then you'll never do it if you're doing that whole go from one job, in the middle of that job, try to find the next job, in the middle of that job, try to find the next job. And you wind up on that, I think I've called it a treadmill before. It feels like a treadmill.
Sure.
And that is grinding. And I see a lot of my friends in that situation. And man, I feel for them.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have rocks, things to look forward to. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to that Tile Money event in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that helps me get through today, which is crappy.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. You know, some of that stuff's really good.
No, solid stuff. And I appreciate it as someone who myself am traveling, you know, more and more every year with Tile Money and the tile industry. I appreciate this tip, Ron, and my wife is gonna also appreciate it and say, I told you so. Because I'm the kind of guy who you know, likes to just, I mean, I booked a flight within 3 days and I couldn't make it, of course, because something came up but that's just the way I am. I like to just go the seat of my pants. Mario, happy Thanksgiving, brother. And by the way, it's Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to all the tile contractors, tile installers, tile friends out there watching, listening. I probably won't be going live again this week. So happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of year. You know, it's definitely, thanks for support, Mario. I appreciate it. You know, there's definitely a good part about this season, you know, getting back with family, getting an opportunity to just kind of relax and think about what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
Man, listen, that's how can that go wrong? Finally, a season that how can we finally have a season that's impossible to be controversial about, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Let's hope so. And being thankful.
Thankful. Is thankful okay still? I don't know.
I don't know, man, but I appreciate you saying it. And, you know, appreciation leads to more. If you appreciate and are thankful, it leads to more gratitude, more appreciation. And the opposite is true. Also, if you're negative and down on the world, you're going to continue seeing things that bring you down. And,
totally.
And that's a terrible place to be. I've been there. I get there. You know, I'm sure I'll be there in the future, you know, but if you can be appreciative, it's going to lead to more appreciation. And,
definitely.
You know, we see that in the market even, you know, that's why they call money, you know, appreciation of money, right? I mean, more leads to more.
Yeah. There's two things, you know, my wife, has taught me. Number one, when she's mad, she really wants me to say the words, how can I help?
Great tip.
So there's tip number one. Tip number, because it's very difficult to be angry with someone who's trying to help you, just for the record. Just little marriage advice. And then secondly is, you know, thankfulness is an upward spiral.
Yeah.
For sure. And thankfulness is a practice as well. Thankfulness is a practice. People don't like to do it, or not like to do it. People don't necessarily often think of doing it. And when they do, and you make it a practice, it definitely is, it's a springboard into much more positivity in your life, for sure.
Absolutely. Say, Ron, how much time we got? 10, 15 minutes or 10?
That's more or more. Sure.
10 more minutes. We've got one more topic I wanted to get to, just because it's been brought up several times already.
Yeah.
And that is inflation. I know you've spoken on this, you know, a little bit in text and probably in the last podcast we did, but what are your thoughts on inflation? What would you like to communicate to the tile contractors?
Yeah. Okay. So number one, I like to look at the world for what it is, not what I hoped it would be, not what I wish it was. So be really practical in everything that you're reading. Anything that you would read in the news, you know, make sure you're just really practical as far as like, well, what does this exactly mean for me? And if you can't draw an immediate conclusion back, just disregard it, you know, move forward. You know, there are people that are using words like transitory, like transition, you know, this is just going to be a short window, short time of things. There's a couple of things that are not short-lived. First of all, it is very clear that wages, specifically wages, labor wages, those kind of things are going up. They're definitely going up. So that's not going to transition out. Once that comes here, that sticks.
Sure.
Our current energy strategies, our current energy situation in the world, that's not going to be transitioned anytime soon either. You know, we're currently our fuel prices are looks like they're going to continue to rise. You know, so that's something that's not looking very good right now. You know, that's a concern. Shipping and receiving. There is just, it's just insane, and it's not getting better. And it's getting worse before it does get better. And this holiday season is proving that. And we haven't even, by the way, we're not even in the real thrust of it, because that doesn't happen until usually next week.
Sure.
So we're seeing all those things. I will say that people are starting to become, I think, a little more understanding of those kind of things, because I think there's so much massive knowledge out there, I think, is helping. You know, when you were to say supply line last year, nobody would really understand what that meant. And I think today a lot of people do understand what that means. And I think that that's helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that that's a big thing. But the bigger part that I say, you know, if I were working for a contractor right now, I would be studying like crazy. What do I have on the books? What do I currently have that I know is committed? And how can I buy forward as much as possible? And if I have to rent warehouses in order to pull that off, I'm going to rent a warehouse to pull that off. Just simply because inflationary situation will hit our products. You know, price increasing, for example, across the entire sector, you know, year over year is in the 20s. You know, we're like, and by the way, our industry used to enjoy a nice one-time price increase per year kind of situation. You know, it was like in the beginning of the year, all the pricing was kind of equalized, and then we'd have a couple of, you know, increases here or there. It wasn't that big of a deal. Right now, things are so crazy with the supply lines, and freight situations are so bad that pricing is now only good for a quarter from manufacturers. Okay, so what does that mean? Wow. Well, okay, so think about it like this. If you were looking at materials that you're going to need, you, and I'm just talking about like, Luke, you have a business and you've sold 5 jobs, right? And you know those 5 jobs are already sold. They're under contract. All right, I would be communicating with all 5 of those owners with as much regularity of saying, here's where the status of your job is. We have ordered your materials. Here's what, you know, I would be giving them more information than they want, right? And just err on the side of over communicating on these things. And then the bigger part is all the material that you can buy ahead of time, you're hedging. Mm. You're hedging against inflation. So for example, if you bid that job at $100 and you did not hedge against inflation, then when you wind up executing that job, if it costs you $120, you just lost 20%, or it could be all of your margin. Or the worst case scenario is that you lost your margin and you're in the middle of a crazy negotiation with an angry owner who doesn't want to pay you one red cent more than what you said you were going to pay, you know, do blah, blah, blah years ago. Well, if you're smart and you've communicated and you're as proactive as possible about the realities of the situations and you're over communicating as to the status, then you're forming a partnership with your owners on the same problem that's outside of your control. Mm-hmm. And you're being humble in the fact that this is outside of my control, and you're being honest in the fact that I'm letting you know the real impact so that you can know what to expect. Happy customers are mostly about having aligned expectations. Mm-hmm. Their expectations align with what I can execute, and I have communicated enough to control their expectations that they continue to be happy. That's the magic. That's the magic. And if understanding inflation is part of that, which it is now, then your communication strategies need to support that. And then once again, we start talking about experience. What kind of experience are you giving that client so that later on they can say, man, you know what? Luke really stuck with me through this whole project. There was a bunch of crazy things. We made it crazy because we changed our mind. But the whole time he kept positive. He kept good communication and he executed that job well. I'm happy to write this guy a check and I'm more than happy to tell all my friends about him. That's success. That's how successful businesses are built. So I look at all these things as opportunities. Inflation, while it's cruel, it's the cruelest form of economics because it damages those among us who can't afford it the least. All right. But it's good in the fact that in business, if you're savvy, you can use it to sharpen your systems, create new systems to hedge against it. And that hedging against it is really important in everything you can do. So I'd be looking at how can I be less wasteful in my business? If inflation has gone up by 6%, I need to be less wasteful by 10%. If inflation has gone up by 6%, then my pricing needs to go up, you know, by whatever it costs in order to keep me whole. And also, if I've lost ground in pricing in certain areas, I need to claw that back. And so this might be an opportunity for me to claw back some margin in certain areas as well. Also, it might be a good opportunity for you to look at things and just stop doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't do this anymore. You know, and we kind of mentioned about, yeah, you know, going out on free estimates and stuff like that. You know, hey, guys, pricing on fuel is such that I'm sorry, you know, we just don't do free estimates like that anymore. We have a fee, and I like the ones that are like, hey, it's a $100 fee, and I'll get that $100. It'll come right back to you when you sign the contract or whatever, you know. But ways to guard yourself against being taken advantage of in those situations are really, really effective, in my opinion. So
am I oversimplifying this by saying that it's really essentially a two-step process? First of all, educating and understanding the problems that are current and in the future and why. Because, yeah, and I want to emphasize the why, because it's like if I understand there's inflation, it's like, okay, there's inflation today, there might not be. But if I understand why, if I understand why fuel prices are going up, oh, all of a sudden I see that the world leaders want to push. I mean, there's green energy problems, right? There's climate problems, right? So the world leaders are addressing this and they are pushing this through, and not to get heated about it, but to educate myself and say, okay, now I understand why this might not go away, why fuel prices are going to continue to rise, because they basically want, you know, and believe that we need to go to a greener energy fuel, which time will tell. But the fact of the matter is, this is what they're doing. So I'm going to keep my emotions out of the situation and keep my beliefs out of it, right? Because a lot of these things we've touched, and then the second step is communication. Is that oversimplifying it? Education and communication.
I think you're exactly right on that. And my bigger part is like kind of like what I was saying before, that you capture here is, and well captured, I think, is look at the world for not what you agree with and disagree with. It doesn't really matter.
No.
Look at it for what it is.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you can't deny what you see in front of your face. And then the cause is the root cause and, you know, what someone's going to solve or what the government will do or what the government won't do. That's all great. Don't get me wrong. I want you to have an opinion, but not when you start thinking about what does that do to me? Because businesses are a lot about measurement. They're a lot about, you know, understanding the reality. And the worst thing that you can do in your business is sell yourself a lie, you know, because the easiest person to lie to is yourself. Yeah. You give yourself all the breaks, you give yourself all the, you know, it's really, really easy. Oh, I'm going to do better at that tomorrow. You know, it's so much easier. But when you start mixing in that same mentality when it comes to a business and running a business, then you create these narratives inside your business. And those narratives inside your business can be something you have to fight later. Mm-hmm. You know, meaning I feel like I deliver a much better experience on the job than you actually do. You know, and why is that? Because I believe something. I believed a narrative rather than doing some objective testing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe now then I spend a little bit of money on, or not even money. I use like SurveyMonkey and I grab my ex customers and I send them a quick survey. Hey, what could I have done better at all these things? Now you have literal data that tell people what you actually think. And if those two align, great, fantastic. If they don't align, then you have an opportunity to say, you know what? We can do better here and there. And by the way, I eat my own dog food on this one. I eat my own dog food. We are just, we just completed our distributor survey, and we just completed what we call our MVP survey, which is our contractor loyalty program. We did a big survey through those guys, and we're continually looking at that feedback. And it's not because we're masochists and we love to beat ourselves up, although we are. But the bigger part is that we want honesty in our view, how we, what we think we are versus what the world thinks we are. And so this all really is connected with all of that, keeping a really objective lens on the world and inflation and politics and all that mess of what's going on and, you know, unrest and all those things. Those are all things, but they provide data and they provide facts. And then you look at your head, your, what you're doing, right? And you start developing this, I'm going to look at the world for what it is, not what I wish it would be. And then I'm going to develop strategies which go towards what I wish my company would be. That's a different animal. Now I'm using the, somebody just, I think it was Aaron, just typed growth mindset. Yeah it's a growth mindset. Yeah, it's totally growth mindset. That's exactly right. And you know, you start looking at things like now I can get myself in this situation where I'm really being objective.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I appreciate it, Ron. No, this is great stuff. And again, objectivity, you know, these conversations are hard. I mean, everything we've talked about today could be triggering for everybody. We're emotional beings. We're an emotional animals. And I'm guilty of it myself. I've had to learn, you know, if we want to go forward as a tile community and have conversations like this, respectfully and professionally, we need to take emotions out of it and understand that we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about our views on the matter. You could, there's places for that, and you're more than welcome to do that.
Sure.
But what I would like to do, and what I try and attempt to do with Tile Money, and I've failed at times. I'm not perfect. Is take the emotion out of it and say, hey, this is what, and I've been. The community has helped me. You've helped me. Joe Macaluso has helped me because he does a lot of research, and I've done some of the same research, and what it does is it depresses me and send me to bed. And I say, well, how do you keep from being depressed? He's like, I'm looking at it objectively. I'm looking at it so that I can hedge my future. I'm looking at it for my child and my grandchildren so that I can set them up and help them succeed. And that's, I just wanted to hone in on that. Hey, Katie, good to see you.
Totally.
Got a
totally.
Few more comments.
I guess what we're saying is buy Bitcoin.
Buy Bitcoin, baby. And go podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, it's what's really cool about that, and I'm glad you said, you know, the other names you said too. Okay, so when you start thinking about like your organization and leadership in an organization and like how do I lead moving forward and those kind of things, really that is what leaders start to do. Right? They start looking at the world, like I said, for what it is, and then not letting their opinion cloud because you've got so many of the what you would call rocks of facts around you that you're building the foundation of your ideas and strategies on. And then you're going to do a lot better. You're going to do a lot better. The worst case scenario is you've thought about these things deeply and you've created some strategies and you're just more well-read on the subject.
Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is you start landing the best deals of your competitors and you start landing better deals and you're buying smarter and you're managing your job smarter and you're making more profit because you're not wasting profit.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is grabbing that dollar, finally getting that dollar, and then just hemorrhaging 15 or 20% through laziness. And it happens all over the place. And let me tell you, you don't need a forensic accountant. You know where it is. I always call them the leaky holes in your butt, in your bucket, right? You know where your bucket leaks.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I talk to my daughters about personal finance, first of all, they hate it.
I bet.
They hate the conversation, but the point is, if you look at your bucket, and my favorite one, she's my oldest daughter's, you know, studying nursing, and nursing is tough because she's in that part right now. Her cash flow is not great personally, and she's trying all these things. And I'm always like, you know, those leaky bucket items, your time in your life right now. This is when I was eating ramen. Mm. This is, you are in that grind, man. Sure. This is when I was eating ramen. This is when I was sleeping on a mattress in a one room, you know, and I was just grinding it out. I was homeless for 6 months in college. You know, I know what it's like to grind, you know. And to get yourself through that grind, which is very similar to a lot of contractors who are trying to grind their business up to that next level, now you start looking at your leaky buckets. For her, it was like, I really like energy drinks at the beginning of a shift. Okay, $5 a shift. Right? Yep. So you figure $5 a shift, that starts adding up, you know. She thankfully doesn't smoke or anything like that. But when I talk to people, you know, especially younger people that smoke and they're on job sites and stuff like this, I'm like, hey, I don't know how you afford it. You know, and these little things that wind up being the little, you know, it's a depth of 1,000 cuts to success.
Yeah.
And then looking at things and saying, I'm going to start taking those death of 1,000 cuts one at a time. I'm just going to quit.
Yeah.
The best thing you can learn to do is what not to do. And then you start looking at the real picture and moving forward. But yeah. So it's very interesting how when we start talking about organizational behavior, personal behavior, what we've talked about today organically in this conversation is this beautiful interlace between personal behavior and organizational behavior, and how these strategies and thoughts can help you in your personal life obviously become more organized. But the second part is that it can make you a better husband, father, friend, daughter, wife, significant other. You know, it can make you better. And my biggest part, what excites me about leadership all the way through is, and the greatest part of this whole thing, I think, is that you have the opportunity to be a better human afterwards. Mm-hmm. And what the heck are we doing all this crap for if we're not feeling fulfilled, you know? And that's really what's driving me right now, honestly, trying to become a better human.
Well, if that's your driving, I mean, how can you lose? I mean, you could certainly be wrong for a matter of years and go the wrong way. But if your intention is to become a better human and become a better leader or business owner, but really the core better human, then you're going to accept the fact that you were wrong and say, okay, let's go. Exactly. Let's correct that. You know,
that's right. Exactly. Personal humility is just the key to growth. You cannot grow without it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Luke. Hey, listen, it's 11 o'clock almost, my friend.
Absolutely.
Anything you want to say in the last couple minutes?
No. I'll let you go. I do want to thank you for coming on today. I want to thank you for this candid conversation. I want to thank you for what you said at the beginning. You know, you want to use this platform to inform and educate. All right, Tile friends. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed catching up with Ron. Really appreciate him spending the time with us and answering those questions live. I feel like that was a very beneficial podcast, and I hope you feel the same way. If you want to stay in touch with all things Tile Money, don't miss out on what we got going on. Subscribe to our weekly newsletter. You can do that at tilemoney.com or check the show notes for a direct link. We email that out typically on Thursdays. The link is in the show notes. Tile friends, remember, your words and your thoughts have power. They are energy. Stay positive out there, Tile friends. And above all else, please, please, please stay